We are starting the Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. Today's show, Cello Madness. Well, I will be interviewing Paul Hyun, who's producing a show called Cello Madness on November 19th. But today, everything cello. First, a little calendar of events. Some shows at the Wallace in Beverly Hills. TheWallace.org for more information. November 22nd through December 18th, 2022. Invincible, Romeo and Juliet reimagined through the music of Pat Benatar. Also at the Wallace, November 25th through December 4th, Twelfth Night, that's Shakespeare. TheWallace.org for more information. At the Broad Stage in Santa Monica, December 15th and 16th, Nat Geo Live, Cosmic Adventures. Take a look at their website, it's very interesting. And December 17th, Herb Alpert and Lanny Hall, A Christmas Wish. Sunday, December 18th, Sunday Morning Music, Sakura Cello Quintet. Oh yeah, broadstage.org for more information there. And at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, through November 27th, Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird with Richard Thomas. I saw this play a couple weeks ago and it was superb. Also at the Pantages, November 25th through the 27th, A Magical Cirque Christmas. And then, starting November 29th, Annie, The Sun Will Come Out. Go to BroadwayInHollywood.com for more information. BroadwayInHollywood.com. Now about tonight's show, Cello Madness. As I mentioned, I'll be interviewing Paul Hyun, producer of Cello Madness Congress. But we start the show with him playing Elgar's Salute d'Amour. And right after the interview, an improv he did in my living room. Just beautiful. In this show, also music performed by Cello Joe, Sungmin Khan, Cello Doll, and yours truly. Stay tuned. Thank you. It's October 18th, 2022. Mystic Pete here with Paul Hyun. He is hosting a show called The Cello Madness Congress, which is November 19th, 2022, downtown LA at a place called ArtShare LA. People can buy tickets at Eventbrite. Just search Cello Madness Congress, November 19th. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Pete. Thank you very much for having me on your Mystic Pete Chronicles. It's an honor to be here. Actually, this is my first time ever being interviewed for a radio show of any kind. So it's a very new experience for me. So I'm very honored to be here tonight. So about the Cello Madness Congress. So back about a decade ago, I actually encountered a man named Joey Chang, who goes by Cello Joe on Spotify, whom you can follow, by the way. He's a beatboxing cellist who graduated from, I believe, UC Berkeley. And he came up with this idea of gathering a bunch of cellists and then just starting to do all this crazy stuff, from like improvisation to classical to rock to funk to pop. And basically, he just gave every cellist an opportunity to try to showcase their talent, whether they were classically trained or they do something completely different with the cello that the audience has never seen. Therefore, the Cello Madness Congress idea came in effect because of this idea that Joey believed that cellists should and deserve to have a way to showcase themselves, not being accompanying a violin or in a string quartet or in the orchestra or just doing a solo classical show and people don't really appreciate their non-classical aspect of it. So he started the Cello Madness so he would give every cellist an opportunity to have unlimited potential for creativity with their cello. And the rule of the Cello Madness is, if you have a cellist in your group, you can perform on the show as a soloist. So the way the show works is, we have usually 3 to 4 soloists, which are basically artists that play the cello, obviously. And after each solo act, in between the acts, we have these transition periods where we do jam sessions. So sometimes Joey will just call up saying, "Cellos, come on stage," or "You and you and you, come on stage," right? And then we get on stage. We have no idea what's going to happen. Either Joey's going to tell us we're going to do some kind of a funk beat and then we're going to have to improvise to it, or he doesn't say anything. He just says, "Let's just go with the flow. Somebody start something and we'll play follow the leader." But I think my favorite thing about the Cello Madness is the cello ping pong. So cello ping pong, it's basically when you have cellists on 2 different sides of the room, whether it's 2 against 2, 3 against 3, 4 against 4. The biggest I've seen for cello ping pong, I think, is 5 against 5. And what we do is, we each as a team come up with our own ideas for improvisation. And the judges is the audience. And we each have to come up with our own name. This past May, actually, Joey himself gifted me with the honor of coming to the SoCal debut for the Cello Madness for the first time. Because Cello Madness only existed in the Bay Area for more than a decade. So because of that record, Joey gave me a chance to pass the torch down here in Southern California, because I told him, "Hey, we should have a Cello Madness here." He's like, "Look, if you want to start it, Paul, go for it. I'll support it." So here we are. This is going to be our second showing of it. But during our first show, Joey actually came down and did a solo act of his own. He did beatboxing, and then he sang songs about cheese penguins, because he asked the audience to pick 2 words. And with those 2 words, he created his own song out of it, using those 2 words and beatboxing and creating all these different rhythmic things with his cello. So it was a lot of fun. But anyway, his team was called Cheese Penguins. Ours was called Squid something. I forgot what it was. But anyway, so they took a turn playing some kind of improvisation, and then the audience, based on their cheer, we would know how much they liked it. And then it was our turn, and then we had to play, and then we decided to cheat and use a One Republic as the cover, because some of the cellists in my team were not quite up to par as Joey's team members, so I adapted and created an improvisatory way where they can still improv in a cool way, but within their ability and their level. And that's another thing that makes the Cello Madness very unique, actually, Pete, is we don't actually discriminate the cellos on their level. I mean, Cello Madness is a professionally high level of expectation when you're performing the show, but for the jam sessions, we've even had students come on the stage, students who know some basic chords and all that, and we just let them jam with us. So the Cello Madness really is an opportunity, and I hope it becomes a safe haven for all the cellists throughout here in Southern California, from here to San Diego, even Las Vegas and Utah, because I've got some friends and colleagues in those states too. And I really want this Cello Madness to be a way that we can all grow together and create a wonderful, unique opportunity for audiences to see the cello in a different spotlight, away from its classical bass role. So,
well, I have two comments. Sure. One, some of the audience knows that I'm a cellist. In fact, the theme song for the show is me playing cello. I know Joey, extremely talented cellist, much better than me. But in all fairness, he has four arms. Yeah, he has four arms. So that gives him an edge in playing the cello. And actually, 15 fingers on each hand. So the guy is, you know, he's got that. Anyway, but the other serious point I would like to make is that there has been this push and pull in all the arts, but classical music particularly, and particularly in the last 100 years, about keeping it relevant, keeping new voices interested, young people interested, because there's this feeling like it's some kind of old, antique, powdered wig kind of art form. And there's this push and pull between keeping things authentic and the purists and doing it right. And on the other side, well, let's have some fun and break it up a little bit. And, you know, so you get classical musical comedy by people like, I don't know if you heard him, Peter Schickele, which was PDQ Bach, or violinist Nigel Kennedy. I mean, there's people like very talented musicians who then take it to a modern idiom.
Right.
A modern idiom, not modern idiot. Modern idiom. Yeah. And then you have Yuzhou Wang, who's a phenomenal pianist.
Yes.
But also, well, let's just be frank, extremely attractive, sexy woman who plays that note on stage. So, I mean, are people going to see, I mean, this is a conversation in the classical community. Are people going to see her because she's a wonderful pianist or because there's a slit up the side of her dress all the way to her greater trochanter, which is at the top of the leg? So, play, sexiness, the unconventional, breaking the rules, having fun. And so you're in one camp, clearly, with this cello madness congress, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, like, the thing is, Pete, is I've been classically trained, right? I've been playing the cello for 26 years, and some people have wondered how I started learning to improv, because, you know, I have people asking me all the time, and the one thing I said was, for some people, it just comes really naturally. Like, when me and my sister were really young, we first watched Star Wars Episode 4 with Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher. After the movie was over, while we were driving back home, my parents noticed that me and my sister were humming the entire John Williams score in the car, in tune. And they were like, we have really weird kids. What are we going to do with this? And then they found out that we were actually talented with what's called a perfect pitch ear. And the thing is, everybody's always like, perfect pitch, what's the big deal? I can do that. And then what I realized was perfect pitch really is something born, but I do believe with modernized music and how a lot of really talented musicians out there who don't have perfect pitch are really skyrocketing with their careers, I don't think perfect pitch is as big of a deal as it was in the like older days.
Interesting fact, not to interrupt you, but languages that are tonal, like some Asian languages, like Chinese has tones.
Yes.
People who speak in those languages have a much greater perfect pitch ability. Like instead of 20 or 30%, it might be 60 or 70%. So they're being wired through language to recognize pitch and where things sit through their language. So meaning it's learnable.
Yes, it is. It is. That's the thing that I've concluded too with some of my other cello colleagues, because we were having a discussion, you know, because we're all music educators and teachers. And the one thing we always question is saying is, can talent be taught or does it have to be born, right? And then we realize that, you know, people are born talented, but, you know, it's like my mom and dad used to tell me and my sister, talent alone won't get you very far. Yeah, you can be skilled for a while, play things by ear and do really cool things, but one, is it going to be in tune? Did you practice enough? Are you going to be able to perfect it and not make the mistake and make the same mistake over and over? No. Talent plus hard work equals professional.
The 90% perspiration.
Yeah.
10% inspiration.
Yes. Yes. Because the most important thing for any cellist, actually, my advice is, because growing up, you know, if it weren't for my mom and dad pushing me and my sister so much with practicing, the one word we all hate, like, I've learned that I have way too much to be thankful for, especially to my parents, because they sat in all of our lessons, took all the notes, videoed all of the things the teacher made us do. They would literally smack our hand if our bow hand wasn't correct, or if we weren't sitting upright, they'd poke us with a pencil.
So this was kind of hardcore training,
yeah,
almost a punitive approach, yeah, which frankly was very common. Yes. Starting 100 years or even 50 years ago and yeah, prior. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would get beaten if you didn't do it right.
Yeah. But
and some people were very thankful when they grew up, mm-hmm, that they had that strictness.
And some people quit because of that strictness.
Yeah, some people it was just awful and yes, they hated music.
Yes. Yes. So
I mean, this is a whole nother conversation.
Of course.
How we train children, mm-hmm, we want them to learn the violin. Mm-hmm. Or cello,
right,
but and they don't want to practice. I mean, like, how much do you push them or force them or make them do it before they can have their dessert or whatever? Mm-hmm. So this is something I certainly haven't figured out, and as a parent, probably failed miserably. But the bigger question is, mm-hmm, how we involve new people, how we involve young people, yes, which is something I really appreciate about what you're doing. It's fun. It's going to, yes, be a fun night. Yes. It's also going to be very musical,
yes,
and classical musicians, yes, should appreciate what's happening.
Yes.
It's the cello, after all. Who, yeah, doesn't like that? And, you know, it's funny because classical music, I guess, is kind of looked at, mm-hmm, as some old thing that's not relevant. But when you get into it, mm-hmm, it's so rich. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's vast. You have several hundred years of development.
Yes.
And the best composers for centuries rising to the top. With pop music, you have a few decades of music.
Right.
You have this great pool of mediocre crap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some great musicians, but in 100 or 200 years, only a very small handful of them will still be listened to. Mm-hmm. But you have that same phenomena, yes, happening in classical music over a much longer period of time.
Yes.
So the point is, the body of great music, mm-hmm, is unsurpassed,
yes,
with the classical genre.
Absolutely.
And when I am in the car driving, that's what I'm listening to, because, mm-hmm, it's just endless, mm-hmm, brilliance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And somehow it doesn't always penetrate into the younger generation. Like,
yes,
there's a lot here.
Yeah. So that's the key that I have with my students, is because, you know, I actually enjoy teaching improv to all my students. Anytime a student is learning cello from me, I teach them the classical basics first, because, you know, students, when they see me playing with my electric cello and doing looping and all this other weird music, you know, or playing the, the Zelda theme, they're like, how do you do that,
Zelda,
Mr. Paul? Yeah, because I play a lot of video games. That's why my students like me too, because I can actually relate to them on a personal level of the video game series. And my sister even plays video games too, and she's a professional violinist, you know. And we both play Fortnite, truth be told. We love playing Fortnite. We play with her music colleagues all the time, because during the pandemic, there was nothing else to do. So we developed the Fortnite disease from the pandemic. But we're very grateful, because I made some new friends with people from New York who are professional musicians just like me and my sister, but they're her friends, and they've become friends with me, and they also have been very supportive of me preparing this Cello Madness too, even from the East Coast. But the one thing I always tell my students is, you can only have fun with the cello if you're willing to put the work that leads up to the fun first. Because if you just go in blindly, it's like you're driving without a license. It's pretty much the same thing. You know, I told them, do you want to crash? You want to burn? And like, no. And I was like, then if you do as I show you, I promise you it'll be worth it. And usually after the first four lessons, they start practicing on their own. Because when I'm teaching them, I'm teaching them how to practice. If you teach the younger generation how to practice, you can motivate them in ways they didn't think they could be motivated. Because then they're understanding from square one, oh, so this is how I practice. I don't just go blah, 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 blah. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm done. No. You focus on the section that only you really need the most focus on. You don't just play through and play through. Because all that does in your memory is, when you perform, you're going to play exactly like that. You're just going to be playing like blah, 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 like no emotion, nothing. So that's why when I'm teaching, I always tell my students, you want to put feeling in everything you do. So I teach them, when playing the scale, it doesn't just have to be ba-da-dee-da-da. I teach them, it could be like ba-da-dee. Do, 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 do. So I show them different ways they can play their scales, and they're like, oh, I never thought of that. Or I would say, like, have you ever tried to play a scale while you have one foot up in the air? They're like, what? They're like, why would I do that? I was like, well, if you don't want to get bored playing scale over and over, be creative. Get your brain to stimulate and start coming up with ways to not be bored.
So. See, now, where were you when I was studying cello? I mean, in the 60s, I had a marvelous teacher, actually. Mm-hmm. His name was Alex Reisman, a wonderful guy who was a little bit of a mentor to me when I was young. But honestly, some of these creative ideas were not present. And it was hard. It was hard sticking to it and being disciplined. But one of the advantages we have now is there's a lot of new ideas to make it interesting. Yes. And also, on social media, you have all kinds of people doing cello lessons.
Yeah.
In fact, Cello Doll, I interviewed her for a radio show about a year ago.
Very cool.
And I just started watching her cello lessons online. I go, oh, this lady's brilliant. And she made it so fun and interesting. And there's at least a dozen people just teaching the cello, which I watch from time to time, that have all these innovative techniques and really draw me in. Like, oh, why didn't I learn that when I was a kid? You know,
right.
And, okay, finally. Yeah, so social media can actually really help people get engaged by exposing students to different ideas, different ways to teach, and kind of make it fun and creative and engaging.
Yes.
And that just was not available in the 60s.
Yeah, unfortunately it wasn't, right? Like, because back in those days, things were even more strict, right? Like, they really would, like, make you practice, like, hours and hours, and, like, in those really, really scary schools in, like, Asia, they'll smack your hand for every wrong posture you do, or they'll just keep you sitting there for hours and hours until you really have, like, such a strongly, like, good posture, but then suddenly your back starts hurting, having problems there. That's the ironic part. A lot of people who develop back problems from playing the cello is they're taught to stay sitting up straight way too disciplined without giving them time to relax and then do it again. Like, some schools I've seen, they actually keep the students like this for hours and hours, and then as they get older, they develop back problems, which is not good.
Well, I mean, that's another thing. It's like, you can find your own way of even holding the cello. There's certain principles. You want everything to be moving and relaxed. But yes, when I was taught, there was a right way and a wrong way. And now, doing very unconventional cello music, sound meditation, I found kind of, well, I feel better when I'm in this position. My body relaxes more. Or you're holding the bow a little differently. So it's just a lot more free, as well as content-wise. Like, we're going to improvise at the Cello Madness Congress on November 19th. And you're like, make it fun. Draw people in. Make it relevant. And I think even like learning poetry, a different art form. But okay, what do kids want to learn in poetry? They want to learn how to rap. Well, that's poetry. Or write music lyrics. Start them there. Draw them in. If they have an aptitude, well, they'll go on and take poetry courses and learn about Longfellow and Blake and then like the real poets. But first come in ways that are relevant to their lives. And that's what you're doing, actually.
So like, actually, speaking of poetry, actually, you know, I have a friend. His name's Andre Knox. He's releasing his poetry album, actually, a EP, actually, this fall. And actually, I did a few cello tracks for his poetry. And the thing is what's fascinating about improvising with poetry is once you hear the words the first time, right? Because whenever we're playing music, our teachers tell us you need to paint a picture, right? And it's like, what does paint a picture mean? It means think creatively about, like, what kind of words come to your mind when you're hearing this, right? So poetry, you have an advantage that they're already giving the words for you. So based on the type of poetry, like, I had a very embarrassing time, like, at the Oracle Tavern with Andre, where he was talking about some kind of a very romantic, steamy poetry, and he wanted me to improvise to it, freestyle. And I was like, I have to play something sexy on the cello. And I was thinking, I don't know, does it need to be minor or major? And then I just went with the flow. So when I heard the words he was saying, I started creating something very lush and kind of, like, not quite Tchaikovsky. It was more like, it was almost like a Shostakovich kind of, like, romantic kind of feeling to it. And, like, audience actually really liked it. You know, like, I made it as lush as I could because I was following the lyrics to it. And it's funny when you mention, you know, poetry, you know, like that's, and then also helps lead to rapping. Like, that's exactly it. Like, I think poetry actually is a great way for students, especially, to develop improv, to be honest. Because when they hear words, they have time to image what those words are saying. Whereas music, it's just dots on a page, so they have no idea what kind of words to think of.
Very good point. Yeah. Also, another factor is that a lot of these composers, when they were alive, they were the freaky, rebel, radical people. They were the arts. They were people like us who were free thinkers and a little different and dancing to their own music and style. You know, Mozart, Beethoven, these were kind of rebel people and radicals, and they like Beethoven has an opera called Fidelio, which is all about rebellion and revolution. Because they're from so long ago, we think of them again as this outdated, you know, antique kind of art. But we are them, you know. It's just we're not wearing powdered wigs anymore. So I think. If people can appreciate that in their time, they were real, brilliant, novel thinkers. And what you're doing, you know, is definitely in that vein. I'm not sure if in 500 years they'll, you know, be playing cello madness music because it's the Beethoven of the 2020s, but maybe.
I mean, like, the biggest tradition that I love about cello madness is Joey always has us. All the cellists go up, like we have like 10 or 12 cellists that go on stage, and they'll say, "We're gonna play for you something, and it's called a scale." You guys know what a scale is, right? It's like, of course we do. So we do like a scale round where one person goes, and the next person, or we play it all together. And Joey's reminding the audience that all of our improv comes from our classical training. You know, like everything we've learned classically growing up, we've been taught those rules. To ironically break them once we move out on our own.
Good point.
Yeah.
To break them, right. Because we want to hear something new and fresh.
Exactly. That's why our music teachers were saying, you know, I remember my music history teacher in college was saying, you guys want to go out and get a good gig? You're not going to get a lot of money by just playing like Pachelbel's Canon and Bach. You need to start learning some pop music. You need to start learning a little bit of some improv. And they're like, what's improv? It's like, oh, let me show you. So he started playing like a Mozart. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he turned Mozart into some kind of a jazz funk piece out of nowhere. And we're like, whoa. Like, yeah, right? See, it's something different. See, the thing is, people are always afraid of new things, right? People are afraid of change. But cello madness, I assure all of you that we do not ever, ever forget about the classical music roots. We are forever grateful because of the classical music roots and all the training we went through, all the conservatories, all the pushing and hours of practice we had to do got us to this point. Cello madness is just helping classical musicians and offering every other musician out there, and cellists especially, obviously, and students, an opportunity to think outside of the box and try to learn to try something new. Because every cellist that's at this cello madness, I guarantee you, has been classically trained for a long time. You know, we have the cello doll who's coming from Las Vegas. My friend, Misha Kylikulov, who's coming from San Francisco, he actually is in a group called String Quake. You should look them up on YouTube. They've traveled all over the world playing, actually. It's an electric harp and a really amazing percussionist who can play the djembe, African drums, any kind of drum set this guy can play. And then he plays the cello for it. And they basically have some kind of a very, like, their style is very, very worldly. Like, it varies, like, depending on what style or what country they go to. They can play an improv based on that. And it's really cool. And then, you know, the cello doll, she's actually releasing her own, I believe her own solo album, actually, this coming November. So she's coming to the Cello Congress to start preparing that debut release. And she's also a good friend of mine. And then I, myself, am going to be playing with a singer friend of mine named Nina Nepa. And she actually, if you ever want to follow her social media, is nina.nepa. And she is a great singer, and she's a music writer and arranger. And together, we have formed a group called Whiskers. And our mascot, actually, is kind of like a cello that basically it has the F-holes, but then it also has cat ears, and then the whiskers coming out from the cello body, and then you have the strings. We just decided to call ourselves Whiskers because she likes cats. And then, you know, I like cats, and, you know, the cello body looks like a cat. But anyway, like, at this cello madness, you will witness also cello battling. So what is that? Simply, it might be like say cello doll will start playing something randomly crazy, and then she'll point her bow at me saying it's my turn. But okay, I have to top that, so I start doing something creative. And we let the audience actually laugh and interact. This is not a place where it's like you sit quietly, you can't cough, you can't sneeze, you can't cry, you can't, you know. Obviously, no cell phones allowed, of course. You can't have your phones ringing. That just goes without saying for any concert. But Cello Madness is for the audience can be relaxed and chill. Like, if they want to laugh, if they see something funny, great. If they want to shout, woo, go ahead. Because at Cello Madness in the Bay Area, they let people drink alcohol during the show. This one, we cannot, because the venue says you'd have to get a we'd have to get a license for that. But you are allowed to bring, you know, your own beverage or food if you would like to during the show, because we want people to have a relaxed environment. But it's still at a professional level, and that's what we're trying to show. The Cello Madness may sound very unprofessional to a lot of people who are classically trained, but if you watch the shows, you'll see that all the cellists have very solid technique, and you can see all the training they've went through. And then through that training, the creativity they show paints a completely different picture that's going to open audiences' mind to something new and something that's never really been done here in Southern California. So this is only the second premiere of the Cello Madness here in Southern California. It'll be November 19th, 7:30 p.m. is the show start. You can find the tickets on Eventbrite. You just type up Cello Madness SoCal. Hopefully we'll get a good enough crowd, because the idea of this Cello Madness is I want to open opportunity for many cellists where they can come and actually show off what they do, as well as be able to pay the musicians, right? So the Cello Madness also needs support from the community. But such a new idea is very hard to get through an area, especially in LA. The music environment is so competitive, actually.
It's saturated, yeah. There's only saturated. 400 things happening every night that everybody wants you to go to their thing.
Right. But this Cello Madness, I hope for cellists who never got the opportunity to do something creative, I can open it to them. And also, any other musicians out there, if you know how to improvise or like to jam, in between the solo acts at this show, if you bring your instrument, I promise you, I'm going to call you on the stage to jam with us. Because we love to jam. We love to rock out. We love to just go crazy. That's why it's called Cello Madness.
Cello Madness Congress, November 19th at ArtShare LA. Mm-hmm. Tickets at Eventbrite. And people can find you, Paul Hyun, at TAEKWONCELLO.
That is correct.
And you happen to teach Taekwondo also, I understand.
Yes.
You just do that for free. Yes. Multi-talented guy. Nice fella. Helping the community. So, yeah. Good.
All right.
Last words?
In the closure, what I will definitely say, because I said this in a podcast, like I think like several months back as well, is just because you're a professional musician does not give you the right to be a jerk to other people who are not the same level as you. That's my 2-cent words I'm going to tell any professional musician, because I've had too many professionals calling me names that you'd be surprised, even though we're both teachers, like in front of people before. And the one thing I've learned is your status doesn't give you a right to be a jerk. If you really are a true musician, you will welcome any musician who has the same passion as you, regardless of their level. Because that's what we do as music educators. We need to inspire, not to discourage. So that's my closing words.
I love your approach, this anti-elitist approach where everyone's welcome, this humble approach of building community. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thank you very much, Pete. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Good, Paul.
Well, what do you think of that kind of looper style? It's unique, right? Like,
It's brilliant.
Thank you.
Step forward. Step to the left. Step to the right. Turn around. Kick your leg. Once again, step to the left. Step to the right. Step backwards. Step forwards. Step to the left. Step to the right. Turn around. Kick your leg.
We are coming to the end of the Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. In today's show, an interview I did with Paul Hewn. We started with a piece he played by Elgar, Salute d'Amour, and after the interview, an improv he did in my living room. Just lovely. Then two pieces by Cello Joe, who actually started Cello Madness up in San Francisco, and that's still going. He played Whispering Bow and Beauty Overwhelms Me. Cello Joe does a lot of work with loops and looping pedals, as we all do, and that will be featured in some of the tunes on tonight's show. Then a couple of pieces performed by Sungmin Khan, one by Chrysler and one by Debussy. She's one of my favorite cellists in the whole world. Somebody to watch. And then two pieces by Cello Doll, who I interviewed about a year ago, A Music Box of Bones, and Another Year to Rock. She'll be at Cello Madness on November 19th, and I'm going to interview her again. And we wrap up the show with a little ditty I did with loops, and I just knocked it out in the last couple of days, called Good Times. That's at the end. And actually, the theme song for this show, that's me on cello. That's called The Me of Me. We'll be back next week with the best of talk radio. Thanks so much for listening. Mystic Pete out.